reading to you from Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, and the 22nd verse. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and boy, things have happened ever since. You know, I've said this before, 55 years is a long time to be preaching, but I'll tell you one thing, it's been a joy. And I still like to tell people about Christ. In restaurants, airplanes, trains, you name it. If I get a chance to say something about Jesus, I'm going to do it. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for half an hour. Why don't you just go in and kick your slippers off, pour you a glass of iced tea, a cup of coffee, or maybe a peanut butter sandwich, whatever the Lord leads on you. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I've labeled this message, If I Had My Life to Live Over. Well, first of all, I would have accepted Jesus at an early age. During the Depression, my sister and I would go to Sunday school at Odell, Oregon. My sister, who was 3 years older than I, got 3 pennies for the offering, and I got 1. We'd walk to Sunday school, and by the church was a little store which sold candies and jawbreakers. Well, I'd take my penny in and I'd go buy 2 jawbreakers, and I'll see you Betty after Sunday school, and I'd go down to the creek and go fishing while she attended Sunday school. Well, but dumb old Cecil would rather fish at that time than go to heaven. You know, when I started to pastor my first church in Corbett, Oregon, I would start training my laymen and laywomen how to be soul winners. The first year I pastored that church, 50 people accepted Jesus as their Savior. My people would tell me about their friends, and I'd go visit them and introduce them to Christ. Well, but I felt like I should teach a class on soul winning. So I put an ad in our local newspaper and said that the Corbett Baptist Church was going to have a Wednesday night soul winning study course. Believe it or not, people came from the Presbyterian Church, Nazarene Evangelical Free Christian Church. We had a nice study, even if I didn't know what I was talking about. I'd give them demonstrations, but that's not as effective as doing it in the field. Now listen to this. One day, I received a phone call from some laymen who had attended that study. And they said, we'd like to have you take us out and show us how this soul winning works. Otherwise, preacher, put your money where your mouth is. I agreed. And so the 4 of us went to an alcoholic's house. Now believe it, his wife was a practicing witch. Now someday, some may think, well, there isn't people like that in this world, but I'll tell you there is. And you could just feel a cold chill in that house when we walked in. But anyway, these 4 men started witnessing, like I'd taught them soul winning stuff. And they were talking about sports, and they were talking about fishing, they were talking about weather, everything that they had come there to do. Finally, I said to the alcoholic, with your permission, I'd like to tell you about a man who was a terrible alcoholic. He got so bad that he would go down and drink with the whiners in Skid Row. He was married, and he had three little boys. His wife kept telling him that he needed to get some professional help. So he tried psychiatrists, psychologists, brain specialists, and even preachers. But no one seemed to tell him what to do. Finally, he ended up losing everything that he had. He came home drunk one night and told his wife to fix him and his friend a drink. His wife poured the liquor down the sink, and he grabbed her, tried to grab for the bottle, and instead he tore her blouse. And she said, "That is it. I'm taking the children, and I'm moving back to Portland." That night, this young man called a preacher out of bed at 3 a.m. and said to him he was going to take his life, but he was afraid to die. The preacher asked him if he was sober enough to drive to his house. The young man said that he was. That morning, that young man heard that Jesus Christ loved him and could give him a new life if he would repent of his sins and receive Jesus. The young man did not know any theology. All that he knew was that he was lost and he wanted a changed life. I noticed tears streaming down the old man's face. I said, "Wasn't that a nice story?" The old man said, "It sure was." And I said, "That young man was me." I said, "Sir, would you like to have something like that happen in your life?" With tears streaming down the old man's face, he said, "Oh, yes, I would. Yes, I would." Well, when we left there, I thought those three laymen had cut their suspenders and gone straight to heaven. Do you know that what this man did? He reached in his pocket and pulled out a $20 bill. And I said, "I don't charge for house calls." He said, "Well, every time my priest comes and visit, he expects money." And I said, "Sir, I am not a priest. I'm a preacher. I'm sure that these men will never, never be the same." Well, many years ago, our pastor here in Colorado invited six laymen to come to our church for a lay-led revival, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He invited three of the, we invited three of them to come stay at our house. What a wonderful time we had. It was a blessing to our church. And one day, Andy called me into his office and said, "Cecil, do you think that our church could get laymen together and start holding lay revivals around Colorado?" So him and I selected six good laymen. And our first revival was in Rangeley, Colorado. That's a couple 300 miles from here. And, the men were scared to death. The pastor had resigned. But all in all, we had a great 3 days. I told the men that before we enter the city, we should stop and have a season of prayer, which we did before entering the town. I told the men we should invite our wives along because there were times we couldn't deal with the problems that women would have. At first, they didn't like the idea, and I purchased a 28-foot motorhome for our travels. We held meetings in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Texas, state of Washington. Oh, friends, I wish you could read the letters we received from the pastors and the churches. We saw many, many people to come to Christ and many rededications. Now, these laymen really began to be soldiers, and they became good speakers. I recall one time we were invited to a large church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We took a whole bunch of their people visiting, and after we returned to the church to make our report, we couldn't shut those people up. They were so excited. They said we didn't know that God could use them. The team and I would always have a season of prayer before the service at night. Well, this night we invited a layman who had been visiting with us to the prayer meeting. I want you to know, friends, I thought we'd never get them stopped. They were so inspired because they found that God could use them. Oh, beloved, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If I could get every pastor in churches throughout America to do this, I want you to know we would turn the world upside down for Jesus, just like the apostles did and Paul and them. But you can't get preachers to do that because they don't care that much. You say, what do you mean? They don't care whether men and women go to hell. They come out of seminary with their head in the air and their nose sticking up in the air, and they think there's something special. We preachers are not special, but we are called. Now there's another problem. There's a whole raft of people who are not in the pulpits today who are not called of God to preach. They thought it was a good profession, but it isn't a profession. My friends, it is a calling. By the way, we are not born soul winners. We become soul winners by following Jesus. Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Now listen to me. Listen very careful now. Don't miss this. God will not equip people for soul winning as long as they're sitting on the bench. Quit sitting on your premises and start standing on your promises. When Jesus called the disciples out, they were men from all walks of life. No Bible college graduates, no seminary graduate. Paul was the only lettered man of the bunch. Which was the difference of these men and Christ today? I'll tell you what the difference are. They were sold out to Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. If we're going to make Christ the Lord of our lives and surrender our wills to His will, we would be amazed what the Lord would do in us and through us. Now listen to this. Here's something you want to put down. It isn't how able we are, it is how available are we. Didn't the Jews say, look at those ignorant and unlearned men? But they marveled that they had been with Jesus. You see, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I had a college graduate say, I just cannot condescend to believe that stuff about Jesus dying on the cross. I said, sir, someday you will, but then it will be too late. Now, friends, I want you to know God is no respecter of men. Why should we be? The rich need Jesus. The poor needs Jesus. The black needs Jesus. The white need Jesus, the red man, brown man, and it goes on and on. The fact remains, we all need to meet Jesus at the foot of the cross. Oh, I don't know how many years ago, it's been a long time ago, my lay team was called to go to Florence, Colorado. That's down where all the penitentiaries, state and federal penitentiaries are. Well, we went down there and stayed all night. The next morning, it snowed and snowed. The pastor had an old beat-up Volkswagen. No heater, no windshield wipers. So I pushed that pile of junk all morning. We finally come to, we looked and looked. He said, I don't know where this guy lives. I know his wife is a member of our church, but he is a terrible, terrible alcoholic. Well, we were driving along and he said, hey, there's that house. It was two double wides put together. Well, I walked in and the pastor walked in. This guy was drinking a Bud Light. He offered me a drink and I said, no, I don't really need none right now. Thank you anyway. So the preacher turned me loose on this alcoholic. And believe you me, I did. I came loose on that guy and I witnessed and I witnessed. And I liked the guy. I don't know, man. I can't explain it. But I just loved that guy. I mean, here's a man that's as lost a goose in the grass. He was unhappy. He was sick. But he needed Jesus. And, beloved, listen. You say, well, oh, that's just for alcoholics. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible said we, Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. You don't have to be an alcoholic to be saved, or a drug addict, or a whoremonger. But you have to know that you are lost. Well, we talked there, and pretty soon I said, well, we've got to get back to the church. We've got a big service tonight. And I said, you know what? Why don't we just all four of us kneel here and have a word of prayer? Now, the pastor knelt by the Davenport. This guy's wife knelt beside him. He knelt beside his wife, and I knelt beside this old alcoholic. And everybody prayed. Of course, the alcoholic didn't pray. And I reached over and I put my arm on his shoulder and I said, son, did you know what? You're in a great position right now to turn your back on the old way of life. And Jesus is standing right now with his outstretched arm saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. And the guy broke and began to cry. And I led him in a sinner's prayer. Oh, I was so happy. We rejoiced all the way back to the church. Even I had to push that Volkswagen a half a mile to get it started. Did you know, dear friends, 2 weeks later, this alcoholic had a brain aneurysm and died. Just think, what if we hadn't went to that man's house during that snowstorm? And we almost backed out. But here it was. Oh, I wished I could convince churches in America to do. Our churches would grow by leaps and by bounds. Again, I have letters by the dozens from pastors who said their church was blessed by those meetings. Oh, in Littlefield, Texas, I believe it was. We went there, and there was only 6 people in that church that came to the services. And we went out, and we led people to Christ. And, wow. In fact, the matter, the pastor told us that he was fixing to resign. Now, there was only one black kid there. It showed up. No blacks, but that little boy, teenager. And after the service, we walked outside on the porch, and he was getting ready to get on his bicycle and go home. And I said, his name was Dooley Davis. I said, Dooley, if you were to die today, where would you go? And little Dooley looked me in the face and said, sir, I don't know. I don't know. But I said, Dooley, would you like to know? Well, sure. So I said, well, let's go out to our motorhome. So a couple of guys went with me, and we got in the motorhome, and I sat down and shared Christ with him and led him to the sinner's prayer, and he gave his heart to Christ. Well, after that, his mother contacted the preacher and says, we want to thank you so much for leading our son to Christ. We would rather go to an all-black church, which was fine with that pastor. He said, sure. But little Dooley found Jesus that night in the Littlefield, Texas church. Now, well, it wasn't long that, maybe a year after my film came out, and I called the pastor there in Littlefield, and I said, preacher, I said, this is Cecil Moore. Oh, yeah, how you doing, preacher? Oh, I said, I'm hanging in. I said, I'm coming down to Texas to see my pastor, who led me to Christ, and we're going to visit down there for a while. I said, but you know, my movie's out now. Would you like to see it? Oh, sure. Come on down and show the movie on a Saturday night, and then you preach Sunday morning. I said, okay, that would be great. Well, so we drove down there. We pulled up in front of this church, and I said, this isn't the church. She said, well, it's got to be. And did you know there was brand new siding on that church, brand new roof, and brand new pulpit, brand new pews in there, carpeting, new organ. And that night that I showed the movie, there was over 100 people was there that night. Oh, friends, and I said to the pastor later, my stars, this is better than those 6 people that showed up. He said, preacher, did you know what happened to our church? That lay group men and women that came there, and their hearts were full of the love of Christ. They took our people by the hand and took them out visiting, and they saw what God could do with laymen. I don't like to use the word layman, but I don't know another way to use it. But laymen are just as important as anybody in this world. And preachers ought to start look at their people in a different light and say, hey, I can use you. Now, once while I was holding a lay revival in Grand Junction, a deacon took me to an alcoholic's house. We visited the man, and while we were there, he and his wife got into a terrible argument. I finally calmed them down, had a word of prayer with him, and I invited him to come to our service on Sunday morning. He said, I might and I might not. Well, sure enough, he and his wife came. Now, get this. During the invitation, I saw that he was really under conviction. However, he never came forward. As we were shaking hands at the door, he said, you know, Cecil, I really wanted to be saved, but I was afraid to come forward, and because all these people know that I'm the town drunk, I said, sir, come on, let's go to the prayer room. And that poor old drunk asked Jesus to forgive him and to save him. Now listen, as I and him were coming out of the prayer room, he spotted his wife leaving the church. He ran to catch her and told her he was sorry for his rotten life and told her he had accepted Jesus. She threw her arms around him and began to weep. She did cheat. She hadn't told her husband that if he didn't accept Christ that morning, she was leaving him. She had her clothes packed in the trunk of the car. Oh, yes, friends. Not only did he save an old alky, but he saved a marriage. Oh, my dear wife can amen that story, because the same thing happened to us. Well, friends, in closing, the people in Calvary Baptist Church begin to grumble to our pastor about our team being gone once a month. So I suggested that our team hold a revival in our church. Now, we stayed all night with their members of our church. At 11 o'clock, we received a phone call from little Vanessa, a young girl I'd witnessed to every time I had an opportunity. She told the man she wanted to talk to Cecil. She began to cry, and she said, Brother Moe, I want to be saved. So on the phone, little Vanessa gave her heart to Christ. Today she's a mother, and she's a member of that church, and that our church began to grow. I said all of this to say this. It works. If we who call ourselves Christians would pray for holy boldness and pray that God would give us souls for hire, we would be surprised what God would do. Now, friends, here's my daily prayer. Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Give me holy boldness. And Lord, give me souls for my hire. The quartet and my wife and I have never held a service in any prison in the state that God hasn't given us souls for our hire. Well, see, if I had my life to live over, I'd have been saved a lot younger. But you know, I said something in a church meeting not too long ago. I said, you know, I'm so glad that I was an alcoholic. And you ought to saw the startled look on those people's face. I said, because if I hadn't, I would have never, never been able to introduce another soul to Christ. Friends, alcoholics are my calling. Oh, don't worry. I'll try to lead anybody to soul to Christ, whether an alcoholic or not. I don't mean that. But that's my forte. That's where I shine. Because I know what they're going through. I know how they weep at night. Oh, yes. Let me ask you, friend. Do you know Jesus? You say, well, I go to church. No, I said, do you know Jesus? Do you know where you're going to go when you die? And you say, well, I don't know. You can. Do you have a little tugging at your old heart right now? God's wanting to say, son, he wants to save you, or daughter, he wants to save you. And here's how the prayer goes. If you'd like to trust Jesus, I want you to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life. And the best way I know right now, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for money. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm just concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope and pray that we said something that would encourage you tonight. Listen, friend, if you're a Christian, you're born again, if you're not out witnessing and you're not sharing Jesus, you might as well go on home. You might as well go on home. Because I'll tell you right now, we're called to serve. That's exactly what he called. He saved us to take us to heaven, then he called us to serve. To tell others about Jesus. He don't use angels. That angel can't tell you how to be saved because they've never been lost. But you and I have. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to continue to pray for me and my wife. Pray for our health and our prison ministries and our mission ministries, rescue mission. Oh, listen, friends, if you'd like to talk to me, you call me at 303-471-8534. I'm a good listener. I won't jump on you. I'm concerned about you. And if you're not a happy Christian, it's maybe because you're not doing what God wants you to do. Nobody is so dumb that they can't serve the Lord. Okay, I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night. May God bless you real, real good.